And they're going to share a little bit about some of the areas that they've been stepping out on. There's a little bit of a theme here about stepping out, saying yes, even when we don't quite know the outcome. Bonnie is heading out to Africa in August with a group that Andy Hainer is organizing for 3 weeks, and she's going to come and share a little bit about that. And Lisa has been working with Samaritan's Purse and been on a number of trips, and I think is maybe still gearing up to further involvement there as well. So she's going to be sharing a little bit about that. So Bonnie, I believe you're on first. As Bonnie comes, then Lisa, I'm just going to have you follow Bonnie immediately right away. And after the two of them are done, there's going to be an opportunity for you. We're going to have a little open mic time. If there's things stirring on your heart that you want to share, if you've had some step up, step out moments, or if you just want to share some of what's stirring that God has been doing in your life, been laying on your heart, if you have things that you want to share that have been a little bit rough and you'd like prayer and encouragement with, or if there's things that you want to celebrate together with the congregation. So prepare yourself for that over the next 20 minutes, and then the last 20 minutes or so of the service, we're going to have opportunity to hear from you. Bonnie, love you. You're on.
Thank you. Good morning. So, like, did you guys see Matt when Daniel asked him if he could feel that the Holy Spirit was doing something? He kind of did this. So if you ever see Matt doing this, then you know the Holy Spirit's doing something in him. Right, Matt? So this here is my security blanket, because as I was typing it, God was going, nope, 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 nope. And I was like, come on, God, please. And he's like, nah. So I woke up this morning not entirely sure what I was going to share. I mean, I'm sharing about Africa, but this is really loud. Okay. I don't like hearing myself that much. I'm sharing about Africa, but it kind of has become more than Africa. February, my husband was preparing to move up north again to work, and I was feeling like there was something I needed to do to get my mind off of that stuff and focus on something different. And Andy Hainer was just talking about starting a online academy, and I saw it a few times come up on my emails and different things, and I was like, eh. I shoved it away. It kept coming back. And finally I thought, maybe I should look into this and see what it's about. And so he was just starting to make videos and stuff for teaching, and invited people to come along with him on that journey. And we would have the teachings come like as he was making them. So it wasn't all set up right away. It's like when you go to a regular school and stuff. But the other opportunity he was giving was to have mentorship times with him through Skype, where we could talk to him, ask questions, talk about what we were learning, and ask questions about what we were learning and stuff. And he's like 100% on board to send emails, talk to him, any questions you have, and he's always back at you. And that spoke to me, because I thought there's not a lot of leaders that are willing to do that when they take something like that on us, because they kind of stand back and they teach and stuff, but they're not willing to sit with you and talk to you and share with you and listen to your heart. And that really spoke to me, and I thought maybe this is a good way for me to plug into something that's healthier for me than just dwelling on the fact that my husband wasn't going to be around and my kids were growing up and moving on and I'd be home alone. And so that's what I did. And shortly into that, he sent out an email inviting those of us who had joined to go with him to Africa. And I've always wanted to go since I was a teenager. And I didn't even read the email, because it was in the subject line, and I was like, I'm not even opening that, because I don't want to be disappointed. It's something I've always wanted to do. My heart like just leapt inside of me when I read that one little sentence, and the first thought I had was, I won't be able to go, and I'm going to be disappointed, so I'm not even reading the email. And I didn't say anything to anybody for a long time, and then mentioned it, I think the first time to Karen, and she was like, you should go, and I was like, Yeah, I should, but I can't. There's just no way it's going to happen. And then mentioned to a few more people, and it was like everybody I mentioned it to was like, you need to do this. And I walked away from them going like, what are they talking about? I need to do this. Like, that's just silly. But the Lord really spoke to me, and very quickly it went from I couldn't do that to, yeah, I'm going to Africa. And so I was excited. I was scared. I was excited. Terrified of the idea of flying out there by myself. And now I'm just like, I can't wait to get on the plane. So I know God's doing something inside of me through all of this. But really, that yes opened a door to so much more. And in the process of getting ready to go, I have really felt like, right from the beginning, I felt like there was things God wanted to do inside of me to prepare me for this trip. And he's been doing that all summer long, and it's been really amazing what he's been doing. And he's taken things, fears and hurts and stuff, and has been healing them. And honestly, I look back and I'm like, that has nothing to do with Africa, but it has everything to do with me. And yeah, so he's been very good and very faithful. And so the journey has been hard, but it's been amazing. And yeah, in 21 days, I'm getting on a plane and I'm flying to Nairobi, Kenya. And I'm meeting, yeah, thank you, Jesus. I'm meeting 9 other people, mostly from the U.S., when I get there, hopefully. And hopefully they all make it there and they find me. And we're going to be running some conferences, 3 big conferences out there through a church that Andy has gone twice before already, so he has connections there, and we'll be running conferences, going out on the streets and praying for people. And I'm very excited because a lot of people have asked like what to expect. And there was 2 things that I always talked about. One was that he said you're going to be more surprised when people aren't healed than when they are, because there's so many healings when you're there. And I can't remember the second one, but it will come to me. And so I want to play a video. It kind of explains what we're doing. If we figured it out right, that is. It. That's what we're doing. We're making disciples. And this course teaches us how to be disciples, but also how to teach others to be disciples. And so it's been really a good learning experience for me. And it's been stretching and exciting. And what God is doing has been stretching and exciting in me. I had something come to me when we were listening to that song that Daniel was talking about, Love Has a Name. And the thought that came to me was, when Jesus breaks your chains, there's no power in hell or on earth that can put those chains back on you. And he's been breaking chains off of me. And it's not just, I saw that picture, like where you see the chains breaking, and that chain you can put back together probably if you really tried hard. But when God does it, it doesn't happen. It just, he smashes them. They're not there anymore. And if we could just believe that, you know, life becomes different. And so one more thing I want to share, that I got this morning as I was praying about today. And I'll just read it here because I just will. When there are things you are struggling with, allow the Lord to speak to you in the midst, and He will, and be willing to go to the hard places so you can be set free. Being set free from past hurts or traumas is true freedom. It's where the lies stop and the truth begins to prevail. And once you really know the truth, it becomes easy to live in it. It's a place where who the Son sets free is free indeed, becomes your new reality. Not only do you change, but you begin to change the lives of those that are closest to you without even really trying. That's how good God is. Expect good things for your life. He only asks that we be found faithful to His love. As you are, you will be thrust forward into His blessings, entitlement, and benefits. God only has good things for you, so trust Him to change the bad and hard things in your life into good. Be willing to let Him set you free today. And that's just kind of what came to me as I was praying today. So this Thursday, on the 19th, I'm going to have an open house at Lisa and Henry's place. It'll be desserts and stuff, and you guys can come down and enjoy those. And then we'll just spend some time in prayer, because I really covet your prayers for this trip. I'm gone for 3 weeks in total, and I have two of my kids that are actually quite nervous about me going and really don't want me to go. And so it doesn't matter what I say to them. They're not quite convinced that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And so if you could pray for them. And just for unity in our group, because we're going to be meeting out there and going to have to work really closely together for 3 weeks. And I'm sure there's going to be differences of opinion and differences of thoughts and how things should go and even what we believe. And so my desire is that we connect very quickly. And I believe God can do that because we have Him in common. So I really believe He can do that. And then just for health and safety while we're there and while we're traveling, and health and safety for my family while they're here on their own. And yeah, so that's kind of it. Some people have asked about giving, and I don't have an organization you can give to. You're free to give to me if you'd like, and if you don't want, that's okay, because God's got this. So I'm not worried about that, but that's kind of how that goes. And thank you so much for listening to me.
So just so you know, the dessert thing at my house starts at 6:30 on Thursday, but it's come and go, so if you can only come at 7:30, that's fine too, or 8 or whatever. I do have my security blanket with me, because last time I spoke, I went on and on and on, and I didn't want to do that to you guys again this time. So I'm going to read I hope it's coherent, because I was really struggling with knowing what to share. I didn't really want to do it. When I was driving somewhere or in the shower, God gave me amazing things to say. And when I sat down to write it, I didn't really know what it was. So it's going to be kind of tough going. I hope it's coherent. I do want to just say a quick thing. When Bonnie showed that video and there was the sower throwing the seeds out, one thing that God showed me at some point on this last deployment was When I would think of sowing seeds, like you're planting a seed, I would think, I'm in my garden, I'm putting a seed down, right? And then you get a nice straight row and that kind of thing. But he showed me a picture of lots and lots of people, and they were standing in front of me. And there was a song, an old song that came into my head as I was looking at seeing this picture, and it was Thank You for Giving to the Lord. Like, there's a song about this guy that gets to heaven, he sees all these people, and they come up to him and thank you for giving to the Lord. And I'm like, okay, like, I've led like 4 people to the Lord in my life, you know, and what are all these people? And he just showed me how when you give, whether it's your money, whether it's your time, you're not putting your seed one at a time. You're throwing out your seed, and God multiplies that. Like, you don't get, well, you get one thing of corn, but you know what I mean? Like wheat, there's lots of, you know, it just multiplies. And he showed me, even though I often feel like I'm just not doing anything useful for anybody, especially for him, everything you do, whether it's buying a poutine for the guy that asked you if he could have your leftovers and there were none, or, you know, bringing a meal to somebody or whatever, like, you're just, it's mind-boggling to think how much every little thing you do, anything, whether you think it's good or useless or whatever, God multiplies. So anyway, that was just the thought that I came up with that. So this is, I don't know if you guys watch Call the Midwife, but I love that TV show. And there's a character on the show, her name is Sister Monica Jones. She's like 110 years old. She's a nun. And she says the most profound things. And one thing that she said on the TV show is, the hands of the Almighty are so often to be found at the end of our own arms. And when I heard her say that, I was just like, wow, that is so true. And so that's just something that is kind of my motto now. Now I'm going to read my blanket. Last fall, I spent 2 weeks volunteering with Samaritan's Purse, helping with flood cleanup after Hurricane Harvey went through Houston, Texas. And last month, I was in Fredericton, New Brunswick. You can start the pictures. There's going to be pictures going while I'm talking, and just things that were going on while I was in New Brunswick. I was there for 3 weeks mudding out houses after the St. John River flooded. For me, taking the risk of stepping out to do this was a huge battle, but at the same time, it was the easiest decision I've ever made. It was the best experience, but in many ways, it was very difficult. Stepping out or taking risks, whatever you want to call it, looks different for everybody, and the motivation to do it is different too. I'd like to say that it was much prayer, worship, and heartfelt seeking after God that brought me to the decision to be a flood volunteer. I want to say I heard God's thundering voice clearly spell out what he wanted, where he wanted me to go and what he wanted me to do. But the truth is, I was in a bad place. Henry and I were becoming empty nesters, and I wasn't handling it well. I was struggling with depression again, anxiety, and all those other things that go with it, and I felt very alone. I believed that if I dropped off the face of the earth, no one would notice. I had no purpose. Nothing filled the deep need inside of me to be needed. My family, all the volunteering I do, the people I help, not even God seemed to fill me anymore. I was at a place where God seemed a million miles away, and I thought I was never going to reach him. I felt that my prayers were hitting the ceiling and crashing back to the floor, shattering in a million pieces. My worship felt cold and flat. It felt as though God had forgotten me, or at the very least, was disinterested in me. I was lost, broken, and questioned my reason for living. It was in the midst of all this that I decided to volunteer with Samaritan's Purse. I can't say God called me to it. It's just something I had to do. I didn't have peace until I made plans to go, but I was scared. I was scared I wouldn't be able to do the work. I was scared people wouldn't like me. I was scared of saying the wrong thing to the wrong person at the wrong time in the wrong way. I was just scared. But in the midst of the fear, I had peace, and I discovered that God was in the peace. The interesting thing is that I found my time in Texas quite easy. The work was physically challenging, but I could do it. I was tired, but amazed at how I could keep going day after day. We worked 6 days a week and only had Sunday to rest. I made lots of friends, and some of those friendships will last a lifetime. I saw God do many, many miracles in the lives of the volunteers and me and the people whose homes were destroyed by Hurricane Harvey. And while I worked, God began to heal my heart. So when I heard about the flooding in Fredericton, it was an easy decision to go. Stepping out this time was definitely easier. While I was still in a dark place, I was beginning to sense God's direction and felt comfortable and confident in going. My Fredericton deployment was very much the same as Texas, and yet very different. When cleaning flooded homes, the work is basically the same each time. You put wet, dirty furniture and other household belongings in a dumpster or on the curb. You tear out drywall and floors. Sometimes you tarp a roof. And when you're done the work, you clean up the mess you made and spray the house with a mold deterrent. I found the work more physically challenging in Fredericton, but loved it nonetheless. The best part was that I was given the chance to learn many new skills. I don't know if the picture came up, but I'm using a skill saw and all this kind of stuff. I was like really quite pleased. On my third day, I was given the task of removing the floors, plumbing, and 3 feet of drywall off the walls in a bathroom and laundry room on my own. Most of the men in my team could have done the job in half the time it took me, and some of them tried to take over. But my site leader wanted me to do it on my own. I really had no idea where to start, but my leader guided me through it, and I can honestly say that I didn't see a wall cut so straight as the one I did on my own. And there is a picture of it there somewhere. It's just a wall, and that it was straight. What I didn't know at the time was that the operations managers back at the base had decided to start training me as a site leader, which means I would be in charge of a team of people that would direct the work at a home. I would have to meet the homeowners, make sure safety issues are dealt with on the job site, and direct the volunteers' work as per the work order. When I realized what the plan was, I told them I was not interested. I did not want that kind of responsibility, nor did I think that I would ever be capable of a job like that. But the managers wouldn't listen. And one thing you learn very quickly on deployment is that you do the tasks you're given, whether you want to or not, or whether you think you can do it. It doesn't matter if you don't think you can do it. If you're given a job, you figure out a way to do it alone, on your own, or with another volunteer. But God always seems to put the right people on your team. We had one day with very few volunteers on my team, and so we had a team lead who had a bad shoulder, and I was the assistant, and we had two other volunteers. The four of us went to a job where we had to remove some kind of old, very large water filter contraption thingy. I don't even know what it was. And I had no idea what to do. And it was my job to direct these guys how to get it out. But one of the volunteers just happened to be a jack of all trades and was able to get it out in no time. Another time I had to take out a set of stairs, but had no idea how to do it. And neither did any of the volunteers I had. So it just happened that another Samaritan's Purse team was working at the house next door, so the team lead came over and gave us a hand with it. The wonderful thing about learning all these new things is that I was never made to feel stupid or powerless. I was always encouraged and supported by the team leads and managers in every situation. I saw God's hand in everything I was doing and saw his faithfulness to me. When it was time for me to go home, I wondered if I should change the ticket and stay a third week. In the end, I felt I should go home and get some rest. But on my way, my flight back, I distinctly heard God say, "Go back and earn it." So at that point, I hadn't earned this vest. And I knew he meant the vest. That's what I was supposed to be doing. As site leaders, the requirement is that, in Canada anyway, you have to wear something that distinguishes you from the rest of the volunteers so that if government officials or gas guys or whatever, they come on the job site, they know who's in charge right away. And I guess if there's something wrong, who to blame? I don't know. Anyway, so that's the purpose of these vests. So 4 days after I was home, I went back to Fredericton for another 8 days. And it didn't take long for me to earn the vest. When they gave it to me, I was proud and terrified. I wasn't sure I could do the job, but God had it covered. The day after I earned my vest, I had a severe fibromyalgia attack and was in bed for 2 days. My body was so weak, I couldn't open a bottle of water. I felt like such a failure and thought for sure everyone else would think so too. But the staff were so encouraging and supportive. They encouraged me to rest, checking up on me every few hours, prayed for me, and made sure I didn't go back to work too soon. And while I couldn't work, I prayed for those who could. When I went back to work, my job became working with one other person, pressure washing basements that had been cleaned up and treating the space for mold. So although I'm a team lead, I never actually have led a team on my own yet, because when the other times I had a team lead that was over me, training me, and so I have the vest, but I actually haven't done any team leading yet, officially. Stepping out is usually uncomfortable and scary and a whole bunch of other not-so-fun things, but stepping out can also be exhilarating and fun and a blessing to you and those around you. While I was in Fredericton, 17 people gave their life to the Lord, and there were many, many recommitments. Many non-believing homeowners requested to be visited by a local pastor once they were back in their homes. Often when you get to a job site, homeowners, you can always tell the ones that are really angry at God, because you'll walk up and they'll go, I don't have anything to do with God, I'm not religious, don't pray for me, yada yada. You know, they're just like angry. And we had one pastor or one chaplain that came on site, and the gentleman tore a strip off his back. Really, really, it was really, really not so fun. So we sometimes have to deal with that, but we just love them, love on them. We do the work. We don't treat them any differently. And we're usually in a home, at a home anywhere between 2 to 4 days on average. And at the end of the when we're done, we give the homeowners a Bible signed by all the volunteers who worked on their house. And even the most hardened homeowner would cry and thank us for the gift and for coming and for blessing them and for loving on them. And so God just, you know, the hand of God, it just amazes me what God can do when you're willing to be the hands and feet of Jesus. It can really affect people's hearts. So what's next for me? I want to keep stepping out in faith. Samaritan's Purse has a training session in the spring for site volunteers, so I'm hoping to be able to do that. I want to be prepared to help if there's ever another disaster in Canada, the U.S., or even abroad. I want to be open and prepared for whatever God is calling me to. They also have what's called a DART program, which is a program where if you're trained, if you qualify and you're trained, you go overseas when there's disasters there, and you get ready, you do whatever, but you set up for the volunteers, you get ready for the volunteers to come. I'm not sure I'm brave enough for that, but it's on the back of my mind. I shared in the beginning how I wasn't in a good place when I started my journey with Samaritan's Purse. I think it's important for us to realize that we don't have to have our act together before we step out into God's plan for us. I think the reason I felt so hopeless was because I knew I was a mess, and I thought I was useless until I was healed. We've all heard the saying, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And I've experienced the truth of this. We are all called to something, so we are all qualified. We are all called to different things, but I want to encourage you, no matter where you're at in life, maybe you're a mess like me, maybe you're struggling in your relationship with God, maybe you're a mom with young kids or have an illness or think you're too old or too young, whatever. None of that disqualifies you. Maybe you're like I was and don't know what your calling is. I want to encourage you to take a step of faith and do something, anything. And as you do, God will direct your path. He will take you where you need to be. Thank you.
Bonnie, can you come back up here for a second? I just want to take a minute to pray over Lisa and Bonnie. Bonnie, I'm proud of you. Well done. Lisa, I'm proud of you. Well done. I pray for the peace that passes all understanding to guard Bonnie's mind, heart, and the heart of her children. And I pray, Lord, for the filling of the Holy Spirit, that your anointing would pour over her, infuse her, fill her, that she would act, Lord, with your blessing, with your love, with the deep knowledge of that you are doing the work and it's not up to her, and that you will qualify those you have called. You will give them all they need, moment by moment, minute by minute, and second by second. I pray, Lord, that you would just open up her tongue, Lord, to speak hope and life and healing, and she'll see the power of your resurrection at work in people's lives, and come home changed in a deeper way, knowing you and knowing who you are and who she is as your daughter than ever before. Amen. I pray for Lisa, Lord. I say in the name of Jesus Almighty, depression be gone. I thank you, Lord, that you are more than able, Lord, to do every good work inside of Lisa. And I thank you that you have heard her yes, and you are giving her tools. You're putting something to her hands and to feet, Lord, to walk it out step by step. And I pray as she walks this journey, you will prove yourself as more than able to not only heal and fix up these houses, but to heal and fix up her heart, her soul, and her mind, Lord, to be perfect reflections of your image, Lord. That you give her all you need, the wisdom she needs, Lord, as she's on the job site, how to relationally, practically handle the situation you put in front of her. You prove yourself as more than able, as her God, the provider, as Jesus, her lover and her friend, and as the Holy Spirit who is with her always. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you. Who's next? Roger is. After Roger, just come on up, sit in the chair at the front so you're ready to share right afterwards. And this isn't I got to match what Bonnie and Lisa said thing. This is what has God put on your heart. By the power of his blood and the word of your testimony. There's power in your testimony. And when we share it, that's when the power comes forth. Amen?
Amen. Amen. It's been prophesied that in the year that Billy Graham passed away, there will not ever be another Billy Graham that is going to single-handedly convert the whole world to Christ. You know, if ever there was a evangelist that can do that, it would have been Billy Graham. But God is going to do something different, and that is going to raise up thousands and thousands of people who have an anointing to make disciples who will. And it's interesting, this Samaritan's Purse is really part of Billy Graham's legacy because it's the ministry of Franklin Graham, his son. And now we see people like Lisa stepping up, saying, God can use me. People who did not believe they could do it. People like Bonnie, who are willing to go beyond their comfort zone and say, we're all going through stuff that we say, I can't do this. I even for my own children, I get texts frequently saying they're up against something. I can't handle this. But yet it's amazing how circumstances change, but God never changes, and he's always there for us. And so this to me is very powerful. And when Bonnie showed that video about going to make disciples, I think for so long we lived with the idea, I'm not ready, I'm not qualified, I can't do this. And so we play it safe, you know, and do nothing. But really the scripture is saying, not just go, but it's saying, as you're going, make disciples. Just let God flow through you. Step up to be available. And as Lisa said, he does not call those who are qualified, but he qualifies those who answer the call. I want to be one of those, and I know you want to be one of those. Just last week, God used Henry to come to my daughter and son-in-law's place to mow the grass. That might have seemed like a small thing for him, but it was huge for my daughter. Thank you for each one of you that are just doing those little things for the glory of God. Together we can make a difference. Amen.
Bonnie, I have a word for you. It's the word full. As you were talking, I kept seeing this. Friday, I was programming a variable speed drive, and it's got this little display screen. It can only display one word at a time. And so the one of the steps I had to go through was full. I saw that word full several times. So that word kept flashing my mind when you were talking. And I was just like, what's this got to do with anything? And I felt the Lord said, you are full of everything you need for what you're going to do.
That was a step of faith even coming up here. Wow. Who pushed me out of my seat? Wow. Anyways, just hearing these stories really, it just witnesses something deep inside me. Earlier this year, I had an opportunity to travel and go to Portugal on the El Camino Way. If you've seen that movie, it's a pilgrimage, 500 miles, end up in Santiago de Compostela, that the, I believe St. James is buried there. And I thought, oh, what a great trip that would be. And I always want to do that with another friend. And we were kind of half planning maybe a year ago. This is so exciting to do. And it's supposed to be happening this September. And the closer that date got, I was trying to churn up the excitement to go. And I thought, well, why am I not excited? Because I'd usually be all over this type of thing. And I finally decided, you know what? This, I'm not supposed to do this right now. No matter how exciting it would have been to my flesh in the past, I thought, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm not going to fight with that anymore. I'm just going to leave it. Because obviously, I believe that's God maybe telling me it's not for you to do right now. But when I hear stories of Lisa joining Samaritan's Purse, my heart just leaps. And I think, yes, 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 inside. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that, but following that witness within me, we learn to trust that. And it calls each of us in our own way, in our own ministry, whatever that is. And you talk about saws and hammers and stuff. I get excited. I've always been that way. I don't know. It's just in me. I love that stuff. And it's weird, but it's me. I don't care what people think. So, I think it's really good to listen what he's calling you to do, whether it's in the church here or whether it's out there. We each have something, and yeah, it's exciting when we listen, when we start allowing ourselves and trusting and breaking past the fears and the inabilities. Like you say, we all have that. That's just a norm, I think, for our human condition. But we know God is greater. He's greater than that. And yeah, just encourage each of you to listen and do. Thanks for sharing, girls.
This isn't necessarily a testimony. Well, I guess it is, in a sense. But as we were coming up for communion and going back to sit down, and I saw all of these families together with the crackers and the juice, the wine juice, it just began to overwhelm me to see what God is doing here among families. And then it started breaking my heart because we're hearing, like Dan tell about his friend leaving his wife. And we know that there has been brokenness in our congregation too, in different families. And I just had such an overwhelming sense. Like sometimes our families get fractionated and pulled apart in different directions, and it breaks our heart. And I know it breaks the Heavenly Father's heart too, but just to see what was going on here, that this is our family. And Steve and I being, this is our family away from family. And just the love that we feel and sense here, even though you're maybe not connected with everybody on a daily basis or an intimate basis, just that we're here for each other. And just want to really encourage each other to look over at who's sitting beside you and behind you and just kind of be aware of what you're feeling and sensing. But just want to let you guys know that we love all of you guys and we're glad to be part of this family.
there's always one more that's sitting there thinking, should I go up or not? And there is time for you to come up.
Yeah, yeah. So God's been talking to me about regret. And I don't know about you, but it can really be debilitating. Usually it hits me in the night. I wake up and I'll be laying there and I'll start spinning about just different things. And it can be what I said to somebody or a child struggling and feeling like there was something I could have said or done. And God broke in and he said to me, he said, Christine, when you're in regret, you're not believing that I can do anything with what you're giving me. And it hit me. It was like, I'm chewing on this regret. I need to spit it out and let him, he's not about regret. He's about redeeming. And he wants to, and I just realized, you know, I have these plans. We were going to raise our kids a certain way and then they'd turn out a certain way. And, you know, we'd, you know, have a certain type of marriage or, you know, and it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen the way I want it to, does it, Gary? And realizing that then it's not about me. It's not about God, you know, taking my plan and going, oh, this is really good, Christine. He also gave me a picture. I got a picture of, you know, in movies when you see the generals around the table with the, you know, the map of the area. And it was the Trinity. It was the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And they're around this table and they got this plan. And I remember Daniel Fuster, I think it was Daniel, he said, God never gives you plan B. There's never a plan B. It's always plan A. I can't fathom that because sometimes the things that have happened in my life, I think that really feels like plan F. Like that doesn't feel like plan A. But as I look back, yes, it's plan A. He wants my heart. He wants my yes. All these things that people have been talking about. And I have to say, I want to encourage you, if you're stuck in regret, spit it out. Because then that gives God the place to start working and to making the plan beautiful. And I have to tell you, it's worth it. All right. So Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for this new week that you've given us, God, that you would just encourage our hearts as we go to our separate places, our workplaces, our homes, Lord, the things that we go into. Lord, we give it all to you. We walk with open hands, open hearts. Do what you need to do in each of our lives, and may you be glorified in all of it. Amen.